Howdy do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 28th, 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Thank you so much for being here, Charlotte. Hello.
Hello, I am here.
I think we're kind of all in that same kind of space, right? Like, I'm here.
I'm pleased that I'm here.
That's good. I'm also pleased you're here. I'm always glad to have you on the show. And
it's been happening a lot recently. Hi.
It has. And I am the last person who's going to complain about it. So the reason
that's what all the other listeners are for.
Well, the thing I wanted to talk to you specifically about today is Zoom. And the reason we're talking about it is because basically everybody's using it, it seems like.
Yes.
And it has sort of become the Kleenex or the Band-Aid of online meetings. Like, I have Zoom meetings this afternoon. They're all in Skype and blue jeans and whatever else, right? But everybody sort of calls it Zoom as shorthand for we're all getting together and we all have our cameras on and not, and the number of people wearing pants is sort of variable. So what I wanted to talk to you about specifically was you've written a piece about some of the security measures that you can take if you're using Zoom for this sort of online gathering.
Right. So, yeah, let's start at the beginning. Zoom has now passed. I hope you're sitting on your seat for this number. Zoom has now passed 300 million daily users.
Wow.
I think I saw someone tweet that is basically one in every 26 people on the planet is using it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
That's mental. Anyway.
Yeah. Especially considering that in January, that number was nowhere near that number.
No. And it's gone up 100 million since in a month. Yep. Like, it's many, many, many people. And it's many people very, very quickly. Yes. That has, as a result of it, caused lots of security concerns. Good. We should be worried about this stuff. It's important to be aware of it.
Yes.
Andrew has, and I've done a couple of pieces as well. We've kind of tried to document all the problems that there have been with data leakages and all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. That's important to know. You can read all about it at themacobserver.com. However, because 300 million daily people are using it every day, 300 million people are using it every day, and you're probably one of them. Mm-hmm. And therefore, and that's fine, it's a really easy to use service. That's why it's got so many big numbers. And so what's most important is the company can fix the company level problems that we've reported on. That's kind of not our responsibility as users. What our responsibility is as users is to make sure we are using the service in as safe a way as possible for us and our colleagues and friends and family. Mm-hmm. And there are some actually fairly straightforward ways one can do that. They're not such a, you know, it doesn't particularly disrupt your workflow or the ease of having a meeting.
Sure.
So on April 5th, Zoom decided they were going to password protect all meetings by default. Whether you had a free account, whether you had whatever. So if you're a host and you set up a Zoom meeting, there is automatically a password generated as well.
Which didn't used to be. That is a change.
It wasn't a default option. It now is the default.
Yes.
And because there was lots of stories about Zoom bombing and those kind of things. And I don't have the data on this. I don't think anyone really does. But I think there's definitely anecdotally been a drop in those kind of Zoom bombing incidents where people gate crash meetings and say racist and offensive and all sorts of horrible things.
Yes.
It seems to me that has gone down. People have become more aware of it.
Yeah. If nothing else, we're not seeing the reporting on it that we were seeing before.
Yeah, so one hopes means that it's happening.
There's less of it happening. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yeah.
So there's a couple of ways you can make sure all the people that need the password have the right password.
Okay.
So first of all, don't change the default option. Just make sure that, like, I haven't even put in my article how one can do that because you shouldn't do it.
Right.
Just keep the default. Make sure there's a password for every meeting that you are hosting. Mm-hmm. So there's two different ways you can do that. If you're scheduling a meeting in advance, If you go to schedule, you'll see there's a meeting ID section, and then you can generate that meeting ID automatically, which also automatically generates a unique password.
Okay.
Or you can use your own personal meeting ID. And if you do that, you can actually enter in your own personalized password. There's a little box underneath.
Okay.
And basically a similar thing applies if you want to, you know, you're like, oh, we're texting, I'm fed up with it, let's just jump on Zoom, and one of you starts a meeting.
Yeah.
You can also do, you can stick to, the password still applies both ways if you do that. So if you just go start a meeting and then go to the bottom in the menu and click participants invite, and then, you know, email someone the meeting ID or, you know, text it to them or whatever, the password again along with the meeting ID is automatically generated. If you are you can also, and there's screenshots in the article which will guide you through this, you can also use your personal meeting ID. There's a little drop down box next to new meeting. You can tick the box, use my personal meeting ID, and then go into the PMI personal meeting ID settings, and again tap in a password, share your invite. So those are really important things, and I can't say this strongly enough, when you're sharing these password details, just make sure you do it with only the people you want to have them.
Yes.
That's really important, and that includes, and this, most of this stuff is incumbent on the host, but the thing both host and participants can do is make sure you don't share the Zoom meeting details with people that shouldn't have it. Don't forward an email that might chain that might have those details in it. Don't share a screenshot of everyone together on Zoom. Isn't it where, you know, the meeting ID is visible?
Yeah.
I actually think even the British cabinet managed to put out a I think there is a picture somewhere, or was a picture online, of Britain holding its first digital cabinet meeting, and the Zoom meeting ID was there.
Yeah. And that's honestly, like,
just watch out for this stuff.
That's part of why we're talking about it, is because a lot of people, obviously loads of people, are new to Zoom. And you may be a person who just attends a lot of meetings that other people are setting up, but you may be a person who has to host them. And if you're doing that, if you are hosting them, then you want to make sure that you are aware of all these features that Charlotte's pointing out. We have the article on MacObserver.com. It's up on the site with pictures and clearly laid out. But
many pictures.
But the other piece is that if you are attending a lot of Zoom meetings, you don't necessarily have the granular controls on making sure the passwords are set and everything, but you do have the ability to ask and to be one of the people who help sort of keep that password secret, so that you don't get gate crashed and all that sort of thing. So it's nice to have the option of that. And that's part of why we're talking about it, because a lot of people are new to Zoom, and it can be overwhelming, because, like, it's just another new thing being thrown at you in the current situation, which is, you know, latest in a series, and that's hard.
And it's sort of, you know, it's incumbent on all of us to be good digital citizens and all that.
Yes.
Once, for the hosts particularly, once you've, I don't think this is an option for people who are not the host. Someone may be able to correct me on this, but from what I can tell, all these options are basically only for the host to implement.
Yeah.
And one of those is, you can lock the meeting. Once everyone you want is in there, you can lock the meeting. Yeah, and that's really easy to do. You get the menu up at the main menu at the bottom. On the Mac app, I think it just stays there the whole time. On the iPad, you kind of have to hover a bit at the bottom to bring it up. And you tap security option. And it brings up a whole load of things, you know, what you allow participants to do and so on. But one of the main options right at the top, which is lock meeting.
Okay.
Select that and, you know, no one else can join. There is a waiting room option. Again, Zoom turned this on by default. And I think again, that's another way of filtering who can go in and out of a meeting, you know, who can come into a meeting.
Oh, okay.
As well. once the meeting has started. Again, you know, it's another way of vetting, you know, making sure the host can, you know, legitimize the people who are in there and be right. happy that it's the right people.
Yeah. And make sure that folks, that only the people that need to be in the meeting need to be in the meeting.
Right. And I mean, we're using the word meeting, but the truth is we're all using Zoom for all sorts of things. I used it to get absolutely hammered in a poker game the other night. Yes. I'm not bitter in any way. You know, friends have been hosting quizzes with friends on it, and you know, those kind of things. People are using it for all sorts of informal things as well. Yeah. And so there are a few little bits that are important.
Yeah. And again, you know, part of it is on people who are hosting to make sure that information is set up correctly. And, and if it's set up correctly, there's virtually no difference if you are attending the meeting, right? Because when you click the link, if you have a link, it's got a password built in, you don't have to worry about entering a password.
So, you can make that frictionless. But you can also insist people type in the password as well.
Mm-hmm. So if you're doing something a bit more casual, maybe you want to include the password as part of that join feature.
Whichever way you want to do it, you can. Mm-hmm. There are ways. There is an option to basically turn on or off that the link you get sent in an invite includes a password or not.
Yeah.
By default. So if Kelly invites me to a meeting, she can set it so that if I just tap the link, Zoom opens, it knows that I'm a legit person who has the password, mm-hmm. and takes me into the meeting. Or you can ask users to have to type in that password.
Right. And I've used...
I kind of prefer, I don't know, tell me what you think on this. I kind of prefer the option whereby the user has to type in the password. Now, I know that adds a layer of friction, but that probably keeps things a bit safer.
It's a very small amount of friction, I think, overall. So
it feels like it for something that means basically no one can just get hold of a link accidentally, tap it, and be in somewhere they shouldn't.
Exactly. And
that's
not
my personal opinion.
And this feels like one of those situations where it's the right balance between security and convenience. So nothing you're typing is particularly long or complex or anything like that.
No,
so you don't have to worry about it.
It's a kind of 5-6 characters most of the time.
Yeah. And pretty easy to enter, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's a way to keep everyone out who shouldn't be there. And, you know, you can send that password like via text message. Maybe you send the link to the meeting via email, but you text somebody the password so that it's a completely different communication method, that sort of thing. I have not played poker on Zoom, but I have played a couple of rounds of pub quiz via Zoom, and that's pretty fun.
Yes, done quizzing on Zoom. Yeah,
yes, that's been pretty great. I'm sure there will be a point where Zoom karaoke becomes a thing. If it does, I need to know, because I don't get to go to karaoke anymore. Yeah, well, but I used to have private suite karaoke, so it was just me and all my friends instead of having to listen to everybody in the bar. So it was a very different experience. Pretty spoiled karaoke wise, but if you know,
I should.
Yes.
No, I was just saying I should point out that actually there's two different parts of Zoom where you can affect these security and privacy settings.
Okay.
There is the Zoom app, which, you know, you probably have installed on your Mac now. You probably have it installed on your iPad. Mm-hmm. And there's also the Zoom.us website through which you can access your profile and adjust all sorts of settings.
Yes, that's also important.
And so that is where you can do things like make sure a password is required when you schedule a new meeting. Mm-hmm. All those kind, you know, require participants for joining from home. There's a whole load of things. You can even mute people by default who mm-hmm. enter the meeting.
Yeah.
So there's lots of different options there that if you're hosting a lot of Zoom meetings, it is worth taking
it's
your
definitely
time to
taking a little bit of time to go through that and just make sure that everything looks the way you want it to and that you know what options are available. The other thing that I was going to point out here is that, like, One thing that you mentioned, Charlotte, was you may have it on your iPad. So yeah, do make sure that you've got, if you've got it set up there, make sure that you've got settings on your iPad or on your phone the way that you want them to be. And if anyone out there is using Zoom for anything particularly creative, we absolutely want to hear from you, because we will probably end up talking about Zoom some more in a future show. And if you're doing something pretty cool with it, we want to know about it. Observations@MacObserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. That's going to basically do it for us today. Hopefully this has been a little bit helpful for folks who have been forced into the world of Zoom. And, you know, most of this stuff sort of propagates out to whatever you're using. Like, go poke around in the security section of whatever the platform of choice is for where you're working. It just turns out that lots of people are using Zoom right now. So that's the one that we're spending the most time with. Thank you so much, Charlotte, for being with me today to tell people about all the security options they have available.
Yeah. And if you, again, if you find any neat tips or tricks, let us know.
We absolutely want to know, because we're using it some too, and we'd like to be able to make sure we're doing something cool. We will dig into virtual backgrounds on another episode, I'm sure. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. Be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.